him of all. Great is God, for that he hath given us a mind to apprehend these things, and duly to use them. What then? Seeing that most of you are blinded, should there not be someone to fill this place and sing the hymn to God on behalf of all men? What else can I, that am old and lame, do but sing to God? Were I a nightingale, I should do after the manner of a nightingale. Were I a swan, I should do after the manner of a swan. But now, since I am a reasonable being, I must sing to God. That is my work. I do it. Nor will I desert this my post, as long as it is granted me to hold it. And upon you too, I call to join in this self-same hymn. 2. How then do men act? As though one returning to his country, who had sojourned for the night in a fair inn, should be so captivated thereby as to take up his abode there. Friend, thou hast forgotten thine intention. This was not thy destination, but only lay on the way thither. Nay, but it is a proper place. And how many more of the sort there may be, only to pass through upon thy way. Thy purpose was to return to thy country, to relieve thy kinsmen's fears for thee, thyself to discharge the duties of a citizen, to marry a wife, to beget offspring, and to fill the appointed round of office. Thou didst not come to choose out what places are most pleasant, but rather to return to that wherein thou wast born, and where wert appointed to be a citizen. 3. Try to enjoy the great festival of life with other men. 4. But I have one whom I must please, to whom I must be subject, whom I must obey, God and those who come next to him. He hath entrusted me with myself. He hath made my will subject to myself alone, and given me rules for the right use thereof. 5. Rufus used to say, "If you have leisure to praise me, what I say is naught." In truth, he spoke in such wise that each of us who sat there, though that someone had accused him to Rufus, so surely did he lay his finger on the very deeds we did, so surely display the faults of each before his very eyes. 6. But what saith God? Had it been possible, Epictetus, I would have made both that body of thine and thy possessions free and unimpeded. But as it is, be not deceived. It is not thine own. It is but finely tempered clay. Since then, this I could not do. I have given thee a portion of myself, in the power of desiring and declining, and of pursuing and avoiding, and is a word the power of dealing with the things of sense. And if thou neglect not this, but place all that thou hast therein, thou shalt never be let or hindered. Thou shalt never lament. Thou shalt not blame or flatter any. What then? Seemeth this to thee a little thing? God forbid. Be content then therewith. And so I pray the gods. 7. What saith Antisthenes? Hast thou never heard? It is a kingly thing, O Cyrus, to do well, and to be evil spoken of. 8. I, but to debase myself thus, were unworthy of me. That, said Epictetus, is for you to consider, not for me. You know yourself what you are worth in your own eyes, and at what price you will sell yourself. For men sell themselves at various prices. This was why, when Floros was deliberating whether he should appear at Nero's shows, taking part in the performance himself, Agrippinus replied, "But why do not you appear?" He answered, "Because I do not even consider the question." For the man who has once stooped to consider such questions and to reckon up the value of external things is not far from forgetting what manner of man he is. "Why, what is it that you ask me? Is death preferable or life?" I reply, "Life. Pain